As of 25 to 4 yesterday afternoon, the case was put in the hands of the jurors and the jurors alone. They have heard all the evidence from both sides over the past few weeks. They've heard closing speeches from both sides. And yesterday, the judge concluded his charge to them and asked them to consider a verdict. As I say, a little after 3:30 yesterday afternoon, they didn't spend very long in the jury room. They came back into the court a minute after 4 to be sent home for the day. 26 minutes on the clock in terms of deliberations, as far as I could tell. Not a lot of time, but the judge said that he just wanted them to begin their deliberations yesterday to get settled in the jury room, to get comfortable as they enter this crucial stage.
I understand as well, Frank, that the judge spoke to them about the legal principles involved in their considerations and how they're to approach the evidence that they heard over the course of the trial.
Yeah, and it's the same with any case. It's part of the trial process. The very final stage is what's known as the judge's charge, and that takes place immediately before a jury is sent out to begin its deliberations. And in his charge yesterday, and I should say that the role of the judge when it comes to his charge is twofold. Firstly, he has to go through the various legal principles and legal issues at play in any given case. And also, the judge must sum up the evidence for the jurors before they're sent out. And just in relation to the legal principles that he went through with them yesterday, he told them that they are bound by the evidence and inferences possibly arising from it. He told them not to speculate, no room for guesswork if something isn't there, he said. And he also told them that when they look at each piece of evidence, and he told them that they should look at each piece of evidence individually, he said it was up to them to place whatever weight, if any, on that particular evidence. He spoke about the presumption of innocence. Yosef Pushka has pleaded not guilty to the murder of Aisling Murphy. So he, like any other accused person that comes before the criminal courts, is entitled to that presumption of innocence. And he said that can only be removed by the prosecution if they prove their case beyond the very high standard of proof, beyond a reasonable doubt. And he said that when it comes to the presumption of innocence, the jurors must start by presuming that what Mr. Pushka is saying is correct, and they must then work from there. He spoke about the burden of proof, the fact that the defense don't have to do anything. Yosef Pushka gave evidence in his trial, but he didn't have to. And given the fact that he did decide to take the stand and give evidence and open himself up to cross-examination by the prosecuting barrister, the judge told the jurors yesterday that doesn't mean that he assumed any burden of proof. He said the onus of proving the case still rests with the prosecution. They must prove the allegation. It's not the other way around. It's not for the defense to disprove the allegation or to prove their own case. And the presumption of innocence can only be set aside by the prosecution. In terms of the beyond a reasonable doubt, that very high standard of proof, he said that it's a high standard, the highest of standards, because of the consequences that flow from a criminal conviction. And he said that if there was a reasonable doubt in the case or in relation to any of the evidence that they look at, that they must give Mr. Pushka the benefit of that doubt. He said that they cannot convict if they think that he is probably guilty. Down the forecourts, a little further down the quays here in Dublin City, a lot of criminal law business is conducted day to day, and the standard of proof there is different. It's on the balance of probabilities, but that's not the case when it comes to a criminal trial like murder. He told the jurors to decide the case on the evidence alone, nothing else, not to let any sort of outside influences into their deliberations. He told them to divorce sympathy from the case, to approach it with an open mind. And when considering Mr. Pushka's version of events, Mr. Pushka, in his evidence, told the jurors that he was attacked by a man with a knife that was not known to him on the canal on that afternoon, the 12th of January last year, and that a woman, Aisling Murphy, came upon the scene, and that the attacker then turned his attention to her, and that Mr. Pushka said that he'd been stabbed 3 times in the stomach, but that he had actually gone to assist Aisling Murphy. It's up to the jury, obviously, to decide on that version of events. And when considering it, the judge told the jury that if they think that that story is a reasonable possibility, then they must accept it and acquit Mr. Pushka. And if they don't accept it, then they must look at the other evidence in the case before they make up their minds.
Okay, Frank, and in terms of the process through this morning and this afternoon, what's happening?
Well, more deliberations. As I say, the jury left a little after 4 yesterday afternoon. Before they were sent out for their deliberations, I should say the judge did fulfil his second role. And when it comes to the judge's charge, he did sum up the evidence for them, enter their domain somewhat. Obviously, they are the judges of fact, but he just went about summing up the case for them, and he told them that it was their opinions and their decisions on the evidence that mattered, and not his. And he even went as far as to say that if during the summary of the evidence he offered a view or an opinion, he said that they were free to reject it. They didn't have to accept it at all, unless, of course, they agree with it. He went through all of the witnesses called over the past few weeks and all of the evidence called, but he only went into great detail in relation to a few elements of the case, and he advised the jurors then to come back to him if they needed further clarity or detail in relation to anything else. And when it comes to the confession evidence, you may remember that the jurors heard evidence of Mr. Pushka apparently making an admission at St. James's Hospital in Dublin. This was 2 days after Aisling's murder. He claims that he doesn't remember those conversations with members of the investigation team. He had had surgery on those stomach injuries the night before, and he was on pain medication. And in relation to that evidence, the judge told the jurors that they had to consider whether it was reliable in light of the defence's claim that Mr. Pushka should have been assessed by a doctor before the Gardaí were allowed to speak to him at the hospital. As for DNA found under Aisling's fingernails, DNA that was a match for a DNA profile from Mr. Pushka, he told the jury that they'd have to firstly ask themselves if there's a reasonable possibility that it belonged to somebody other than the accused. The jury heard during the trial that there was a chance of it belonging to somebody else, but that is a matter for the jury. I think a 1 in 14,000 chance is what they said. And if they're satisfied that it was his DNA, then they'd also have to consider whether there's an innocent explanation for how it got there. He told them not to jump to conclusions. He spent some time going through the evidence of Jenna Stack, one of the prosecution witnesses who described coming across a man attacking a woman in a ditch along the canal. And he also spent a lot of time going back over Mr. Pushka's evidence. When he took the stand last week, as I say, he claimed he too was the victim of a knife attack along the canal. And he told the jury that his attacker then turned on Aisling Murphy and that he actually tried to help her after their attacker fled. And I should say it has been pointed out to the jury, and it was pointed out again yesterday, that Mr. Pushka and Aisling Murphy were not known to each other. There was no connection between them. So deliberations will continue this morning. They have, as I say, 26 minutes or so already done, and they'll resume their deliberation. And they're under no time limit, I should say, to come back with a verdict. And the judge said that, and yesterday told them to take as long or as short as is necessary.